You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's going on, everyone? Taylor Kyles here for CLNS Media, coming at you with another episode of Pats Daily, brought to you by our good friends at Prize Picks, the exclusive daily fantasy partner of CLNS Media. So last week, Alex and I had a really fun time doing something a little different because we're trying to get away from the quarterback dialogue that's kind of dominating this time of year, understandably so, but there are also some pretty significant holes the Patriots need to address. Last week, we covered wide receivers to get an idea of who some of the best prospects might be in each part of the draft, depending on where the Patriots want to go after them. Now we're going after the second or third, depending on how you prioritize it, need for the Patriots, offensive tackle. And it's interesting. Usually we would just do left tackle, but considering the Patriots have worked out a decent amount of right tackles, which, you know, it's kind of tough to know whether they actually think that these are guys they can switch over or whether they actually want to get some new guys on both bookends. We're going to dive in and see what kind of prospects we can find. But before we do, Alex, how you doing, buddy?
Good. Apologies to everybody for the show being a little late. I actually have a good reason this time. I'm not just a Patriots writer. For those who don't know, I cover all things Boston sports for 98.5 thesportshub.com. And I think we were supposed to go at 7:30. I think at about 7:15-ish, we got a Woj bomb, the Celtics re-signing Drew Holiday, 4 years, $135 million. So for those who think Kyle Duggar got a lot of money, keep in mind Drew Holiday, I mean, he's a starter, but Coley, who does a bunch of podcasts. Where's he now? I think it's Underdog, has that great joke where like some NFL star quarterback will get paid and he'll be like, oh, he's getting like NBA seventh man money. So if you want to put that in context, but the Celtics extend Drew Holiday. If you want to check out more on that, 98.5thesportshub.com, how to get that post up for the people. But now I am ready definitely to talk some offensive tackles with you, Taylor.
Oh, yeah, brother. All right. So before we get into the
unless you have a thought on Drew Holiday, feel free to share.
Okay. I'll admit I'm still getting into basketball, period. It's not even just the Celtics. I've never been a really big basketball guy, but I do know that Drew Holiday is a big guy for them to keep around long term. So I'm very excited for all the Celtics fans out there. I root for the Celtics. I will say that. Like, I'm from New York, but I'm not a Knicks guy. I do root for the Celtics. But really, I kind of turn it on during the playoffs when everything's high stakes.
I was going to say, we'll get you – once the draft's done, we'll get you on the Celtics bandwagon come playoffs.
Here we go. It's just – I'm busy, you know. I've been watching wide receivers all day. It's kind of hard to lock in on other stuff. But before we get into the actual mock draft, let's talk about the situation for the Patriots and offensive tackle right now. So – what the situation looks like is you're going to have Mike Nwenni as your starting right tackle. That is what Ian Rapoport reported that he was going to actually be based on what the team expects. He'll actually have the first time in his career in offseason to train at right tackle. So obviously last season, he did a bang up job. He was really good in the position, you know, did a really good job against TJ Watt. But you also did see there were some up and down moments against the really good guys. Like, he wasn't perfect against Watt. Also, Watt probably had a concussion most of that game, so that needs to be taken with some grain of salt. And then you saw the week before, Khalil Mack kind of put him on the ground a few times, so maybe he slims down a little bit. You know, the length really helps him because he doesn't have the foot speed that you typically look for at tackle, but it'll be interesting to see if he can make that kind of transition. Then you look at the left tackle situation. That's the biggest question mark right now. I would argue, and we kind of talked about this in other shows a little bit, the Chukwuma Okorafor can play left tackle. It's what he played for the majority of his college career. And it was what he was at the end of his college career before he switched to right tackle once he got to the NFL. So obviously, that's a lot of time. You learn different techniques when you get to the pros. So it is yet to be seen whether or not that's going to translate. But he has the experience, which is encouraging. And I do think that he is a good pass protector. He's not great. But if you're talking about like it was between him and Jonah Williams, who was a guy that we said that we really wanted the Patriots to get, by the numbers, they're pretty similar. And I do think that Chukes is actually more athletic than what you would have gotten from Jonah Williams, just not as well-rounded because while I do like his aggressiveness as a run blocker, and you see like pancakes on his tape, the effort's there, it's not really where he shines. So looking at the starters, how do you feel about where they're at right now?
So first off, let me apologize. I've been saying Chucks which is a great name for a lineman. But is it Chooks? Was I getting that wrong?
Because I think it's Nigerian or something. So yeah, it's Chooks. Okay.
Because Chuck sounds like a line. Chuck sounds like a guy that just throws people all over the place. So
yeah, I didn't ask a Steelers source to be positive because everybody else is saying Chucks. I'm like, wait, am I the one saying it wrong? But I've heard some Nigerian names in my time.
No, that's good. I'm going to say it right now. So Chooks Okorafor. I'll start with Onwenu though. Like you alluded to, it sounds like he's going to play right tackle. But Gerard Mayo said he's going to start at right tackle. He said he's going to begin at right tackle. As in, like, that's what he's going to be to start the offseason program. And I would not be surprised if, once again, Mike Onwenu ends up playing multiple positions. If he ends up back at guard at some point, something like that. But he's a good player. Center, we know, is locked down. David Andrews, that's an easy one. I think at the guard spots, you're going to have some competition. This is not the regime that drafted Cole Strange. This is not the coaching staff that has worked with him. Like, I think his job, and maybe he can win it, but they added three interior offensive linemen in the top 150 last year, a year after taking him. Like, I don't think they need to worry about guard too much in this draft. They have the bodies. Tackle is where I definitely kind of start to worry a little bit because they really don't have anybody you can hang your hat on. Mike Onwenu's a good player. If he's playing tackle, you can count on him. But we don't know that he's going to be playing tackle. Like, this is, you know, kind of what I just explained. After him, Calvin Anderson just wasn't healthy enough to play last year. And if he gets healthy, I do like some of what he can do, but it's really tough to miss a full year of football and come back and be in game shape. So that's not necessarily a knock on him, but that's the reality of it. Calvin Anderson missed a full year last year. Connor McDermott, I think, is a...
I love his swing, but that's about it.
I think he's a replacement level right tackle. So, like, okay, you have your backup right tackle. Great. Mm-hmm. He can play left tackle, but he's kind of slow. Tyrone Wheatley and Vidarian Lowe, as far as I'm concerned, are unknowns. They were pure project players last year. That's what they've looked like. Maybe they come in better, but who knows? And then you have Andrew Stuber, who is also, I wouldn't even say he's a project player. He's just an unknown. He's a seventh round pick who tore his some important muscle. I forget which one it was. I think it was his quad muscle 2 years ago. So, and as for Chooks Okorafor, I know you like him at left tackle. Maybe I'm scarred from the Marshall Newhouse experience. A guy that has played right tackle for the last 6 years, that has played exclusively right tackle in the NFL, suddenly moving over to the left side where he's not necessarily going to have a ton of help because we don't know who the left guard is going to be. That worries me. I don't know that it's the worst case scenario, but I also wouldn't exactly call it a good scenario. So maybe he comes out and proves me wrong. Like you said, there's some individual traits, but the thing to remember there, and with Chooks, it's maybe a little different because he played left tackle in college, albeit 7 years ago at a non-Power 5 school. It was funny, actually. So I was having this debate with somebody about Marshall Newhouse. This was like 2 or 3 years after he was on the Patriots. I was at the beach with somebody and I was debating Marshall Newhouse and what the construction of that offensive line was. And I was explaining that it's moving between left guard and right guard is not nearly as complicated as moving between right tackle and left tackle, because at guard, you're going both directions at a regular clip. Like, you're moving your right, you're moving your left, you're moving out. Tackle is almost exclusively the first move is in one direction. Mm-hmm. And so for somebody who's not used to, who's never gone the other direction, it would be like, you know, somebody maybe, right. Like, the way I explain it is, you know, write your name with your right hand, now write it with your left. And I feel justified because this guy came up, he goes, are you a football coach? And I said, no. He goes, oh, you explained that really well. I played offensive line at Iowa in the 70s. And I was like, okay, so there we go. So anyway, I always go back to that as that's something I worry about when you move a guy from one side to the other. It doesn't mean he can't do it, but I'm hardly ready to take out a permanent marker and write Chooks Okorafor in there. I don't think that's the best possible way to go at that position. And you add all those pieces up and we'll see what they do in the draft. But last year, it felt like the plan at tackle, on purpose or not, it felt like the plan at tackle was, okay, we don't have a clear cut. Or it felt like It felt like the plan at right tackle and then at left tackle behind Trent Brown. And we all knew you couldn't count on Trent Brown to play 17 games. I think Trent Brown gets too much crap for his approach, but the guy gets hurt all the time. So it felt like players, we have Trent Brown. Besides him, we just have bodies. And we have like 6 or 7 players. And what are the odds that between all 6 or 7, none of them work out? And then what happened? None of them worked out. They went tackle by committee. They treated it like the Red Sox treat starting pitching, and you saw what happened. And I'm worried a little bit that that's going to be the approach again this year. That what are the, you know, okay, we don't have a clear-cut starting left tackle, but between Chukwuma Okorafor, Connor McDermott, Vidarian Lowe, maybe you take a guy in like the fourth or fifth round, right? What are the odds that all those guys suck? To which I would say, maybe not, you know, maybe it's not super high, but it's higher than I'd like to risk, especially if you have a rookie quarterback. So that's why I think that as much as we've talked about loving A.D. Mitchell, right, at 34 moving up or any of that, I'd really like to see them go tackle with the second pick, left tackle specifically, like when they met with Tyler Guyton the other day. Like, that's, you're speaking my language. Because if you have a rookie quarterback, I really don't love the idea of left tackle by committee. And as they're built right now, that feels like what they're setting up for.
And one, to be fair, big difference this season is the coaching. Obviously, Adrian Clem was bringing a system that somehow the Patriots didn't know about. They didn't know that he was going to be like teaching something that was very different from what they actually wanted. Then obviously he has to leave the team. Then midseason, Bill Belichick is teaching them scar fundamentals. And Trent Brown is on record. He's kind of like, wait, what the hell? Like, we've been doing one thing all season, and now you're kind of bringing us back something completely different. And that was one season after you had Matt Patricia teaching another completely different concept where they were scrapping terminology. And again, Trent Brown, I'm sure, was on record as saying, like, we're learning something new. I don't really know what this is. And you saw how his production dipped. So I think the coaching, especially with someone like Scott Peters, where this isn't a guy who's bounced from college and all that stuff. Like, this is someone who worked under one of the greatest offensive line coaches in history. Someone who you can speak about in the same breath as Scar, which is not common. So I think the coaching is massive, especially with somebody who can teach technique, literally has an entire side hustle dedicated to teaching technique, and who also played the position himself. Adrian Clem did as well. But again, these are like guys with different bodies of work. And then when you talk about that, that's someone where there was a question about Tyron Wheatley Jr. Scott Peters has experience with Tyron Wheatley Jr. because the Patriots got him from Cleveland. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out, because obviously he was hurt for most of last season. Then it felt like he never really got back on track, and they never activated him from IR, even though he was healthy towards the end of the season. And Vidarian Lowe, to be fair, he showed out much better when he was at left tackle. When he was at right, that was when things looked really bad. Left, considering the coaching wasn't great, he actually did look pretty solid. So I think Connor McDermott, another guy who gets hurt pretty often, so you can't really rely on him, but I think he's maybe your best option is that swing guy. I like the potential for Vidarian Lowe. See maybe what happens. I don't think he's a starter. Maybe like a spot kind of guy. And then looking at the rest of the depth chart, then you got Calvin Anderson, like you said. You can't expect a whole lot. But you did hit on a great point with the interior offensive line. City So feels like he's pretty much a lock at the right guard spot, unless for some reason Mike Inwenu kicks back inside, then maybe City moves to the left. But I think he's someone that you really want to build around, because he showed a lot of potential last season. And I'd spoke with him on the last day before while people were cleaning out their lockers. And he's like, yeah, I mean, I was pretty proud of myself, the fact that I did what I did, considering I spent the entire summer at tackle. Like, guard in the NFL was pretty much new to him when he was learning on the fly. But at that left guard spot, you don't know what's going to happen with Cole Strange. He's nearing the end of his rookie deal. Obviously, he's got another year next season, but you really don't know what you're getting exactly. So personally, when I've been going through my mocks, a big thing I've liked to do is, and I also agree that, you know, if you're going to get a tackle with the second pick, it needs to be a starter. But I would like to see a starter at that spot over a wide receiver. I just want an impact player. But I like the idea of getting a tackle who has guard flexibility, and then later on in the draft, getting a developmental tackle. So that way, if Cole Strange, you know, something happens, and I am a big fan of Cole Strange personally, but if it doesn't work out, then you have the developmental guy who can come in maybe in a year or two. And then you have that guy who can play left tackle like a Jordan Morgan or a Dominic Pooney, who's probably better at guard, but they're fine at tackle. You can play them. Maybe they're an upgrade over Chukes. If not, Chukes is someone who does have starting experience. So it's not the worst thing in the world where, you know, last season you're rolling out guys who've never been starters in the NFL, and you put yourself in a little bit better position where you at least have talent at that spot and a potential backup plan in the future. So also before we start, George, get out of here, man. Get the absolute heck out of here. Jersey is the swamp of that area of the country. All right, moving on. Just had to get that one out there.
They both suck.
They both suck. Get the hell out of here. We have some of the best food on the planet, and Jersey is Jersey. So I'm just going to leave it at that. Although I do like Hoboken. Hoboken's pretty good for an island. All right, now throw it up on the screen. Let's get started with our mock. So, do we really want to go with number three, or do we want to maybe have some kind of situation where we trade into a spot that's more realistic? Say if the Pats were to like trade back into the end of the first, because I think we all know that if they stay at three, probably even if they move to like 5 or 11, it's going to be a quarterback. I mean, yeah, quarterback.
Right. Yeah, we can do that. I think six, because I just think the conversation is more interesting at six than at 11, just for the sake of, you know, us being entertainers.
Right.
I'm just going to try to.
Although I do think you can get Olu at 11. I'm feeling like he's going to slip because I think Talese Fuanga is someone that people like more than him. And then even J.C. Latham, I've been hearing a lot of smoke with him in the Chargers because he's like a prototypical Chargers right tackle. So I think Olu's a guy that may be available later. But anyway, we'll see what happens.
All right. Hey, hang on. I got to remember how this.
Okay. Let's make it like a future pick so that we can kind of still go with. Actually, well, no.
So here's what I'll say, because if they make this trade, they'll probably get 47 also. Right. So okay. I'm not going to bother putting the future picks on because we're just doing this for this. But for the sake of moving down for six, they probably would get 47. So it gives us a chance to discuss another tackle.
Is there anybody that we could trade with where we would get one also at the end of the first round so we could kind of look at like if they trade back into the first?
We want to use like 47 to move back up? Well, but now we're defeating
the. Maybe something where we move a little bit back from the third pick, but still get like a couple. Yeah, that's probably unrealistic.
Now we're defeating the. Hang on. Now we're defeating because the purpose of the exercise is who do they take where. So I'm just going to take. I'm an overthinker.
Chronic overthinker. My bad.
No, you're good. You know what? Let's just do it at three. We'll pretend we're at six or whatever. The idea is range of the draft. Realistically, if they're taking a tackle with their first pick, everybody's on the board. Whether it's at three, whether it's at six, they should not move to 11. Every tackle should be on the board with their first pick, whether it's at three or at six.
You're right. So Joe, I feel like that's pretty locked
in. And look, I'll be honest, I am a huge fan of Talese Fuanga.
Is it Talese Fuanga? You don't pronounce the S?
I've heard. No, that's like, it's like a nickname.
Okay.
I've seen people refer to him as that. I think his full name is Talese or Talese, but I've seen people call him Tali. But it's Fuanga, the last name.
I remember,
when they were going over it at the Senior Bowl, like they had him on set. They spent 5 minutes of it. He is a football guy's kind of lineman. He is big. He is mean. He is nasty. He is smart. But I think he's a pure right tackle. I know they've talked about him maybe moving to the left side in the NFL. I don't know how you feel, Taylor. I think he's a right tackle. You know, he's a damn good one.
Yeah.
But I think he's a right tackle in the NFL.
Yeah. And again, because he's such a good player and you're picking him that high, I don't think it does you any good to move him to another side of the offensive line where you're projecting what he's going to be. So yeah, I would choose him if we thought that they needed right. If it was like last year where they needed right more than left. But right now, yeah, I feel like it's got to be Joe Alt.
And so, like, I feel like most of the Alt over Shanu people are off that train. There were some more in January, but I feel like everybody's kind of realized just how, for lack of a better word, pristine of a prospect Joe Alt is.
He's like really, truly can't miss. I think Olu's close, although it's weird. He has like very small hands, like Kenny Pickett hands. I didn't really notice. Maybe it impacted him as a run blocker because he does have issues sustaining, but I thought that was a weird part of his profile where he has really small hands. The rest of his profile athletically is fine, but that was odd. But yeah, I think Joe Alt is clearly in a different tier. Olu's right there, but I think like Joe Alt and Talese Fuanga are really like in terms of left and right tackles, they're at the top, no question.
Where do you stand on Joe Alt as the offensive lineman version of Marvin Harrison?
I don't think he's that's tough. Actually, no, I like that because they're really polished. They have everything you want. And it's like Marvin Harrison Jr. isn't like the most elusive guy. And that's probably like the one thing where Joe Alt, it's like, I feel like it's, what's the one part of his game that people have kind of criticized? It's like
Alt.
Yeah.
The physicality.
Physicality. Right. So that's the equivalent there. It's like, not obviously Marvin Harrison Jr. physicality is not the question, but it's like, yeah, he's not as elusive as you'd want. He's not like, that's where Malik Nabers kind of creeps in that conversation. Right. He's more explosive, but yeah, I would say, plus I think Joel's physical enough. It's not like he's out there doing what he needs to do. Like, you know, he's got enough nastiness that I'm not worried about him. And he's talented and he's extremely proficient. So, yeah, I think that that's a pretty fair comp.
Also, both of their dads are NFL All-Pros.
Oh, yeah, that too. Yeah, I like that.
It really is a lot. In terms of the prospect makeup, it's very similar. But Ault is the pick. I like Puanga. I get it with Fashanu, but Ault is if the Patriots are going to go tackle. So to remind people what we're doing, by the way, in terms of this mock, we're not really, it's not really a mock draft. We're using the mock draft simulator for this exercise, which is who is the top option on the board for the Patriots at each spot they're scheduled to pick.
Mm-hmm.
That is what we're essentially doing here. So we're going to take all tackles. Sorry if you were coming for a real mock draft. And I think this is actually pretty realistic what it left us with. Now, maybe Kingsley
Mims is not going to be there is my one thing. Mims is not going to be there.
He might. We'll get into that in a second. So maybe you switch Suamatia and Mims. But Guyton, I think, will be gone by 34. Latham should be gone by 34.
That's weird. Kingsley being gone is odd.
Morgan
he's not starting. That's a weird one to me.
Well, but here's the thing. He is more, and here's why I think Mims might fall. So if I were betting on it, I'd pick him to go in the first round. But this is a guy that has just what, like 13 college starts?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Though, like I get that, but the tape looks like he's been playing for a lot longer. And I would be shocked if scouts and coaches were that concerned considering how advanced he is and he's young. It's not even like he's a guy with not a lot of experience and he's older where you're like, do we want to? What is he, 21?
Yeah.
Yeah, Amarius Mims.
So do we want to restart this to try to give us a shot at Kingsley? Because if Kingsley's the pick here.
So here's the thing. No, I would say Jordan Morgan because I think he can start from day one and he's in that category of like that's what I'm looking for is a guy where you start day one at left tackle because like there's the clip on Twitter. I think Billy M, I don't know what his handle is, but he's really great. One of my favorite Twitter follows. He had a cut up of Jordan Morgan against Leetu Latu, who is the best pass rusher off the edge in this draft, debatably. So if he can handle somebody like that, I think he'll be fine in the NFL. Obviously, there's going to be some bumps along the way, but the fact that he can start from day one and can kick inside to guard if you get somebody who has a developmental option, I have been picking him a lot at 34 personally.
Here's what bugs me out about Jordan Morgan. There is I know people roll their eyes at the arm length thing, but there are very few successful tackles with arms under 33 inches.
That's but the guys who succeed are the ones who are really good technicians, like Isaiah Wynn. Like Scar swore by Isaiah Wynn, and the reason that he did was because it's like, yeah, but if you understand like punch timing and how
did Isaiah Wynn succeed? If Jordan Morgan becomes Isaiah Wynn,
he was good up for those last couple years in New England when he kept getting
hurt. They drafted him as a left tackle. They moved him in a guard. He didn't get a second contract. They need a franchise left tackle, and that's what bugs me out about Jordan Morgan. Will Jordan Morgan hang around the NFL as maybe like a tackle guard combo? Probably. They have enough guards. I don't care about versatility at this pick. I want, because this is probably where they're going to pick the tackle. This is where they should pick the tackle. I want a guy that has the best chance to be a long-term starting left tackle. I don't disagree with you on your projection of Morgan that he'll be a decent player and you'll play him at tackle when you need, you'll play him at guard when you need. I just have no interest in that player. We've done that. It doesn't work. I want a true starting left tackle with this pick. So I look at Tyler Guyton. I look at Kingsley. I look at Patrick Paul. I know people think this is super high for him. I might move down a little bit, but like Mims, if he falls, it'd be interesting. I might get a little squeamish with just how experienced he is, but like I would take Mims over Morgan. Cause again, I want a starting left tackle. I don't want a tweener. I don't want to, we're going to draft
year one.
I want a like long-term start. I would rather draft a guy who I believe can be a long-term left tackle, even if he can't play right away, than a guy who can play right away, but may not stick at left tackle.
But we're still talking about a second round pick where like in this, if we're doing this, we're talking about someone who you'd like to be an instant contributor. And he's not going to be on the field for at least a year. So I don't think that, like, I think the upside is where you make the argument. But I like Kingsley closer to, like, the middle of the late first round than I do this early. It really does not sit well with me to take somebody in the second round who's not even going to play for you in year one.
So Taylor, I've said this, and I think you agree with me on this. I don't want to see them pick a 34. I want them to move up or down from here.
Right.
And it's a weird spot.
Available if they stay put. I just think it's too rich, man. I just think it's too. I can't get on board.
But here's the thing: at a certain point, let me ask you this: you think it's too rich now? If Kingsley becomes the next Matt Light, who cares?
I mean, I'd hope he'd be better than Matt Light. To be honest,
Matt Light's a damn good player.
He's a very good player, but like a guy like with Kingsley's profile, he better be better than Matt Light.
No, but I'm saying like a guy who is the left tackle of the New England Patriots for the better part of the next 10 years.
Okay.
If he becomes that guy and they took him at 34 instead of at 44, who cares? And that's kind of where I'm at with it.
But I think you can get a 10-year starter at left tackle just if you're talking about a developmental prospect. I think you can pick that later in the draft. That's why I don't feel comfortable with it. If there were a more shallow class, I'm like, absolutely, get the guy.
I think it is a shallow class.
I disagree. Like, and we'll get to that later. But I'm just saying, man, are you hard no on Jordan Morgan?
I kind of have been, yeah. Because, again, I just – if. I want a guy I know is going to stick at left tackle. I want to go upside here. I don't want to go floor here. To me, Guyton is the guy.
Getting a guy who can play tackle as a rookie from day one, and worst case scenario, he's not great at it. Worst case scenario, he struggles a bit. You still have Chooks, and you can put him in, and that guy can play guard for you as well. If, again, Cole Strange.
But they don't need a guard.
What's going to happen?
But they don't need a guard.
What do you mean? Yes, they might need a guard. Cole Strange probably isn't going to play to start the season.
You can get a guard later. You can get a guard later. They've invested so much in guard in the last few years.
That's still a worst-case scenario. Like, I'm saying this is a guy who, again, has tape against one of the best pass rushers in this class, a guy who has all the tools, who has length, who has explosiveness, who has different tools in his bag, and he was fine. Like, I understand, especially when you're talking about arm length, like, that's something you typically only see in the first round. Like, we talked about this before. Once you get into the later rounds, that's where you start having to make some kind of concession for these tackles. And for me, because I do think you can get starters later in the draft, I think it's better off to get the guy, again, who can be that immediate impact player for you. So,
I think 34 is a second-round pick. I know 34 is a second-round pick, but if you're going to be the draft and develop Patriots and you're picking this high, you need to be evaluating this pick like you would a first round pick. This is not your normal second round situation. We'll let the chat decide. And if Guyton was on the board, who would you take here?
If Guyton
would you
still
go Morgan,
I would take Guyton. No question. Yeah.
Okay.
You want to go again and see if we can get Guyton?
No, this is a good conversation. This is where we are. It's interesting. Let's.
All right. All right. Let's see. What do we think? What do we think, guys? Patrick, we need votes. We need votes. All right. We got more. Oh, Morgan is over a guard. Okay. I wish we had polls. Can we do polls on this? I've never tried.
This is Morgan. What I usually do. Morgan or Mims? First name. Morgan, Mims, or Kingsley's gone. Morgan or Mims? If King, so, and you would take Morgan
Mims.
Over Kingsley.
I would take Mims. I would be shocked if he's there.
I wouldn't be, because I wonder if teams get squeamish about the experience.
All right, you know what? Let's take Mims. If he's on the board, let's go Mims. Because I'm not saying no to Mims. Like, that's like, there's no way I'm passing on him. So we'll go with that, and we'll both be happy.
There's always one of those guys, especially the big, like DeJuan Jones fell last year. Teams get skeeved out by players that they think are too big.
But DeJuan's thing was also, that was like people didn't know if he was ready to commit to football as well. I feel like that was also some stuff where
I've heard that was overrated. That deep,
is it overrated?
I don't know. I've never talked to the kid. I don't know. I've heard that thing was maybe a little overblown.
Okay. Fair.
That it was a question, but I think he like answered the question well enough in the pre-draft.
Okay. So maybe it was overblown. All right. Now, we're going to move on to the third round, but first we got to pay the bills. So quick word from our friends at Prize Picks. Be right back. Get in on the playoff action and win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks as you and the world's best players take the game to a new level during basketball's postseason. You can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with basketball and hockey entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app.
PrizePicks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states across the country, including California, Texas, and Georgia. I personally love PrizePicks because they're super easy to use, easy to navigate, and they offer injury insurance, so your entries stay live even if one of your players gets injured. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what make PrizePicks the number one fantasy sports app. Download the app today and use the code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. PrizePicks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
All right. So, well, in the chat's right, we never really know when guys are going to fall and how far. So I can sit with Mims. I can understand why he would fall. It makes sense. It's not something crazy. I just think it would be like wild if someone took Kingsley over him, but you know, it is what it is. Cause they're both technically like developmental prospects, but Mims is the guy who could probably start sooner. But anyway, on to round three. Now, Blake Fisher, Roger Rosengarten. I feel like it's really just between those two.
And well, I love that Patrick Paul and Kieran are both off the board here. Cause that seems to be everybody's safe pick at 68. And I don't think either of those guys make it to 68. Cause you see how steeply it drops off. Right. So yeah, Blake Fisher, Roger Rosengarten, I'm with you. I stand by what I just said about Jordan Morgan in that I want a left tackle. I don't want, well, maybe he can play left tackle, but worst case, we can put him at right. No, you just paid Mike Onwenu all that money to pay right tackle, play right tackle. I'm still hunting the left tackle. I also happen to think Rosengarten's a better player for what it's worth. I just think he's better than Fisher. So
I wasn't like blown away though. I was like, oh no, he's a good player. But like, if he like fell to you in the fourth, I'd be like, oh, yeah, no, that's nice.
Oh, yeah. I was literally about to say, great double up tackle because he can play both sides and he's like working from a solid foundation. So really his good third tackle.
Bad size. In third round, that's like you're talking about a developmental guy. He doesn't have to play, like you said, can play both sides. Already really advanced in his pass sets and his punches and everything like that. He's kind of like Troy, like both of those tackles are really good switching things up on guys. So, yeah, I agree. I like Rosengarten for sure.
Somebody asked Fisher over Rosengarten. Is this a reach at 68, Javon? Fisher. I read that as Foster. Never mind. We are talking Fisher and Rosengarten. Yeah,
You're a round guy for me.
And especially in the scheme we think the Patriots are going to run, like Rosengarten's got to get a little bigger, so he'll lose a little bit of his mobility.
But he's got plenty to lose.
Right, exactly. Yeah, he can fall off a little bit and still – it'll still be a plus at the NFL level. I also like he's a multi-year starter, captain. He'd be a lock to be top 100 pick if it wasn't for the national championship. And I'm not saying the national championship isn't nothing. Like he did play a really great defense. You do have to factor that in. And that was a brutal, brutal game for him. But you got to look at the body of work as a whole. And the body of work as a whole outside of that game is excellent. So,
yeah. All right, fire away. Let's go, Roger.
No debate here. All right, Rod. So we've got Alt, Mims, Rosengarten. Nobody else should go before 103.
No, Foster. Yeah, lock it in. Easy. I'm not thinking twice. If Javon Foster.
So you're that just for the sake of doing the show and having the conversation, you're that staunchly Foster over Jones, because that's kind of the debate a lot of people are having.
Yeah, he's one of my binkies where, like, if you really want a developmental tackle, like, because there's another guy who I hope is on this list who I'll talk about, but I loved what I saw from him at the Shrine Bowl. He was one of the guys that really stood out. One, he can play both sides, really physical, like, nasty demeanor. He's got good athleticism. I've seen some kind of scouting reports, and I haven't done, like, a deep dive into his college tape. I can't find it. But I have seen some concerns about his foot speed at times, so I guess there's that. But I think his length is good enough that he would be able to compensate. And also Christian Jones, I think, is more of a right tackle or a guard. And honestly, I like they put him at left tackle for some one-on-one reps at the Senior Bowl, and he didn't look very good. Matt Gonkowski is someone who I like when I read scouting reports, but there's been no connection to him. So I'm not really sure they'd be interested in him. But yeah, Javon Foster, especially for this range, I definitely like him the best.
So I like Foster. Here's where I'm going to contradict myself a little bit, because now we're in the fourth round. Now I want the versatility. Now I want the guys that can play everywhere, because now we're looking for backups.
Yeah.
And Christian Jones, I think, is a pure right tackle. Javon Foster should be able to play on both sides. Goncalves, so this is where I'm going to go back to you. You want Isaiah Wynn, Matt Goncalves.
Goncalves. Okay, I've been saying that like an idiot. I've been calling him Goncal. I didn't know. I'd never heard it out loud before. Okay, that's how you pronounce it.
That's the guy that's going to be a four-position player. And he may never be a starting caliber guy, but if you need, you want a lineman that you need a couple drives, you can plug him in here, there, wherever. Goncalves is the guy that you're looking for in that scenario. So I would much rather take, if that's the player you want, I would much rather take Matt Goncalves down here than take Jordan Morgan at 34. That's not to say Goncalves is a better player, but just if you want that Isaiah Wynn kind of player, I just think it makes more sense at this point in the draft.
I think it's fair. Yeah. I mean, I just like Javon so much better.
No. I would still take Javon Foster over him.
Yeah. Let's just, conversation.
Just to reference back to that earlier conversation, somebody did ask about Dominic Puny, I believe. Yeah.
I think he'd be gone by like a third.
He's also listed as a guard here, as he should be.
Yeah.
He's a guard. I go back to that same thing with Dominic Puny. Oh, well, you know, you could try him a tackle, and if not, he'll be a good guard. No, they have guards. Stop trying to add guards in the top 100. Enough with the guards.
To be fair with the guard thing, like Antonio Mafi, if they are trying to run a scheme where like the guards are pulling, Mafi is not a good fit. I really don't know what his role is on this team. And then Jake Andrews, we have no idea what he is. He had some flashes, but like I don't know what he is right now.
They have Cole Strange. They have City So. They signed Nick Leverett. They have invested so damn much at that position.
I mean, they didn't invest a lot. They have bodies. They didn't invest a lot.
They've invested roster spots. They've invested draft picks and roster spots at that position. At a certain point, you got to put these guys on the field.
When you look at their visits, they clearly do have interest in some interior linemen, but those guys are really like probably mid to late day three undrafted kind of guys. So I would agree that I don't think they think the need is that pressing, especially after the veterans they signed.
You want to take a tap. And I'm the guy, people, longtime CLNS watchers will remember me in 2022. I spent the whole pre-draft process needling Evan about taking a guard. So I'm clearly not against it philosophically as a whole. That's legendary. Me and Evan going back and forth on the guards in 22. This year, anything inside the top 200? No. You want to take a guard, do it on your own time after the 200th pick. Anything before that? No. You've done enough at guard. Yeah, I did. They have Michael Jordan too. I should add Michael, another body. I think we both agree it's Javon Foster.
Yeah, for sure. Why am I struggling? What am I struggling with? I got my guy.
Who did I say you're struggling?
Somebody
said who knows.
Maybe that's where I was struggling because you were right. The veterans that they did add that kind of. Yeah. Trumps the fact that I don't know if Moppy's a good fit. So yeah, all right.
And if you're just joining, yeah, this isn't a real mock draft. We're doing this is exactly what it is. It's like which tackle would you take with each pick? Here's an interesting question for you, Taylor, on the veterans. Would you try Andrew Stuber at guard?
Yeah, I don't want him to tackle anymore. That needs to stop. Like, bless the guy's soul, but they also put him at left tackle. They put him at the hardest position to play on the offensive line, and he just has not looked great. So, yeah, I would like to see him either at right tackle or at guard, but just please, for the love of God, stop playing that poor kid on the left side.
All right, so there's another guard for you. Thank you for helping my case. You know, we'll throw Goncalves in here at 137. I know we just talked about him in the last one. This is probably more realistic.
We do have Glover. Let's go.
We're a little early.
I wasn't sure if he'd be there. That makes me happy. Okay.
But this is where this draft really thins out because he's on the screen and we're like four picks away from him. So, yeah. I mean, the only guys I think you're looking at here with this pick 137 are Matt Goncalves and Walter. I guess they met with Caden Wallace. This would be early. For Caden Wallace, for me.
Solid. But it would be early for sure. Yeah,
I would at 180. I like Walter Rouse. Part of it, Oklahoma tackle. I default on that. Can't be a bad pick. Experienced kid, has played in multiple systems. I actually took him in my last Patriots mock draft. I took both Oklahoma tackles. So there's that. I would go him here over Goncalves. I like the versatility of Goncalves. I just think.
Rouse is going to be there?
Do I think Rouse will be there?
Yeah.
At 137, yeah.
Oh, no, I thought you were talking about 180. Oh, yeah,
no, 180. 180 is actually, let me see. I'm trying to remember which pick I took him with in my last mock draft. Maybe I will. Yeah, I took it.
I like the idea of getting a guy, like, if we're talking about versatility, I like this is where you go, okay, maybe a guy who could develop into a good right tackle. I like that being considered.
Yeah. So this is probably a little early for Rouse, but you're not getting him at 180. And this is where, again, there really is no tackle to take here. This is not a tackle pick. Unless somebody, unless like Christian Jones falls, maybe. Like Christian Jones would probably be my guy here. But
I think he'll be around.
I'll say,
he just get off the board? Did somebody like just pick him?
Probably. I'll say this about Rouse. He's played 3,400 snaps the last 5 years. All as a starter. So he's very experienced. And if you want a like base level backup, a guy that like, all right, you know, we're going to need rookies in these roles, but we need somebody we can throw right in. That's Rouse to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You could make an argument for Goncalves just on the versatility. And that's always good. And I said, I'm open to that at this point in the draft. So I'll leave this. I could go either way here. I it's a little bit of a reach for Rouse, but again, the way this tackle class drops off, you got to get them while they're there. And if you want the guy, even if you think it's a little bit of a reach, you can't just be, oh, we'll wait till the next pick at tackle. Cause the scope, what we're going to see, this is what this exercise is about. The scope of who's available completely changes.
I think I go Goncalves just because they have so many backup tackles. And like backup tackles who do have experience, like Vidarian Lowe, you know, isn't the most experienced, but last year he's thrown into the fire plenty. Then you have Connor McDermott. Then you have Calvin Anderson. Like if you really need one of those guys as a backup, just kind of put him in there, tackle. I think you've got that. But I think the four position versatility is so hard to find. So I would probably go Goncalves.
I like the versatile guys later as much as I just yelled about them. So I'll stick with you on that. I'll go Goncalves too. And are we going to get a chance for Caden Wallace at 180? Oh, wow. Ooh, a couple of fun players went. Damn.
I think Glover's going to be there for us with the next pick after this. So I think we could pretty safely go Caden Wallace.
I wanted Tylan Grable here. I think 180 is a great spot for Tylan Grable.
I like that too, actually.
And he's obviously gone. But so if you don't know Grable, and this is where we get in, like these guys aren't in the PFF simulator. That's why we're doing it on MDDB to get more players. So if you've only used PFF, you're maybe just being exposed to these guys. Grable, former 3,000-yard passer in high school, quarterback. Hyper-athletic left tackle prospect. A couple years of starting experience. He tested great at the combine. He's a bit of a late developer, grew late. So that's why, you know, he was at UCF. He didn't start right away. But I think he's the kind of guy that we just talked about in their system, what they're going to want their tackles to do. I don't know that he's going to give you anything this year, but at this point we're down to pick 180. These guys aren't roster locks. If you want to try to get a lottery ticket and find a tackle you can really develop, Tylan Grable to me is the kind of guy I want to work with in the long term.
Yeah. I agree. If he was here, I would definitely take him over Caden Wallace. But again, like Caden, I think is a guy who has starting upside, which is not something you're going to find very often this late in the draft. And I think Goncalves, like still, we took him earlier because that four position versatility is huge. If we're talking about a guy who could be a backup, then, you know, I think Caden Wallace would have still been in the area, but he's here. So I say we lock it in.
All right. Take Caden Wallace. Now we're going to lose Glover. That's the question.
You better Ethan not. I'll freak out.
Ethan Driscoll went too. I like Ethan Driscoll just because he's huge. He's like 6'9", 320. That's it. Like, there's not much else to his game. And I wouldn't have taken him there. Like, I'm surprised he went that high. I'm not taking him in the top 200, but you can't teach size. So he's my, you can't teach size guy.
I like that. Now I'll break down Travis Glover. Cause this is a guy who I didn't know anything about until the Senior Bowl during the second day in one-on-ones. I'm looking at him and I'm like, this guy's really good, but I didn't recognize the Georgia State logo on his helmet. I texted you and was like, am I crazy or is this not Jeremy Flax? This looks like a completely different person. For some reason, the Senior Bowl did not acknowledge that he existed. Jim Nagy didn't even acknowledge it until like
he was a late invitation.
But he wasn't on the website. They didn't announce he was there.
He was a
afterwards. He wasn't
a late invitation.
It was so weird. Because he's a local guy, and that's usually like in those pools they bring them in. But it was a really weird situation. But I remember just watching him. He caught my attention because he was athletic. He was physical. I think he was that guy who was like basically was not, this isn't exactly what he said, but it was something like, just don't F with me. Or like, basically that interview was like, you got the wrong one, where somebody went like a little too hard in one of the one-on-ones and a coach had to back him up. He's, oh no, he said, I know, B word. And we were both texting like, oh yeah, this guy's awesome. But I love, he's got length, he's got athleticism, he's really patient. That was what really stood out, because with a lot of these guys in the one-on-one, sometimes they're just moving too fast, and a lot of guys can capitalize on that on the defensive side. But he was just waiting for guys to come to him and then locking them down. And once they went to team drills, he really popped for me in the run game as well. So Travis Glover's been a guy that I'm pounding the table. Like, if he's there late on day three, and I mean, I don't really have to pound the table because the Patriots have shown him a lot of attention. They met with him at the Hula Bowl. I believe I'll look at my tracker right now to see what, how much.
I think it was the pro day. They didn't host him because Caden Wallace, they hosted. Okay. I think it was his pro day they met with him. So
yeah, I think you're right. Oh no, it was a 30 visit. It was a recent 30 visit. Yeah.
They had another 30. Okay.
Yeah, it was announced, I think, last week. So the Patriots, he's on their radar, but I'm really glad I really liked him early on. But yeah, for me, he's the no-brainer pick. And I'll be totally honest, other than Frank Crum, who I'm vaguely familiar with, I don't really know the guys at this part of the draft anyway. Just full transparency. It's kind of hard to know offensive linemen this late in the class. So Julian Pearl is another guy that I thought was interesting when I was reading scouting reports, like while doing mock drafts. I literally never seen any of these names.
So I can discuss a few of these guys. I'll take Glover, and then we can get into a few of these guys. We'll see who goes off the board. Glover, and you want tone setters up front, and he's a tone setter, and that's great. So
mean effort. I love him.
So the guys like
Ethan from other teams as well. Like, it's not just the Patriots. I feel like among these late round guys, he's been one of the more popular ones, considering like people have him as like a seventh round pick, priority free agent. I think he's getting drafted seventh round latest. I wouldn't be shocked if he went the sixth.
There's a few of these guys every year, and they don't always get drafted. Like, who was the quarterback last year? Holden Ahlers from Eastern Carolina. That show out at a lesser showcase game, get the last minute, because that's what Glover did. He was at the Hula Bowl. He was so good at the Hula Bowl. The Senior Bowl needed alignment, and that's what they do. They talk to these other games, and they say, can we get anybody, you know, who should we take? So he has a great Hula Bowl, goes to the Senior Bowl, has a good Senior Bowl, and now everybody, you know, everybody wants to be in on the it prospect. How do we miss this guy? He's rising up. And so like last year, and it's quarterbacks, it's a little different. Like Ahlers didn't get drafted last year, but he got a ton of this buzz kind of late. And Travis Glover's kind of reminding me of that. And I, for what it's worth, I like Holden Ahlers. But I'd go with Frank Crum here. He's kind of
a 540.
What's up?
Ran a sub 540. He's like 6'8".
Crum. Yeah. Again, it's kind of like Talon Grable, like just tremendous athlete for the position, great size. He's the kind of guy that if you're okay having a long-term plan for a player, Crum's the guy that like I would want to work with. Some other guys who will be here, like Ethan Driscoll went, he'll be here at 231. I think we've talked about some of these guys. Aneem Donkwa. I think that's how you pronounce that.
He's always there in like the seventh round.
So he is freaking huge.
Yeah.
He is. I'm trying to pull up his. He is 6'8", 353 with 36-inch arms and is a multi-year starter at left tackle.
Oh my God. Oh, he is big. Oh my God. I'm watching his combine drills now. Good Lord.
Yeah. He can't really move. He's pretty stationary. But if you just want a big guy to throw out there, you're not going to get much. The only other guy who fits that is Josiah Ezarim, who I think we've talked about, Taylor, who's another big guy. I'll get his size. He's a converted defensive lineman. And I have a soft spot for the positional converts because I think it's an interesting makeup. Yeah, 6'6", 330, 36-inch arms. If you just want raw size, those would be the guys that you call at this point. And I think there was one other guy I want to touch on, or was that? No, that was everybody. But yeah, I like the upside of Frank Crum with his athleticism. I mean, you could talk me into Donkwa just in terms of like, I don't know, like they thought Trent Brown was a fifth round pick because he was too big to play. And then he was. Now, Donk was coming from Howard, not Florida, so that's a little different. And Trent Brown's a unicorn. Trent Brown's an alien. But I'll never say no to 350-pound linemen.
Crum is just I just like Crum better, but
I like Crum better too. I'm going Crum. I just figured we'd do this. The one other guy worth mentioning here, and some people in the chat. Yeah,
he just had a top 30. Oh no, he was it a 30 visit? Let me check.
Yeah. It was something. It's different because he's not a real college player. Giovanni Manu, 6'8", 350 from the University of British Columbia, multi-year all Canada.
He did have a 30.
Offensive lineman, and he is Canadian. He's like from Canada. He's not just playing there. Yeah, same thing. Like if you just want to go get a big freaking guy, could put him on the list too.
He's a better. I think he's a better athlete too. Like he can move pretty well. And he has guard flexibility.
But you're talking. I mean. I just said, you know, with Donkwa, you're wondering about the jump from Howard and FCS to the NFL. This is a guy that's coming from. I think it's the CIF, right? I believe.
You probably know better than me.
I used to know this. Not the California Interscholastic Federation. It is the. I thought it was CIF. I guess not. Maybe they changed their name. I used to know this. I'm going to be bumped if I get this wrong.
This is right up your alley, bud.
I know. Why? And why is this so hard to Google?
I don't know. Because no one really invests in Canadian football outside of Canada.
This isn't even Canadian football. This is college Canadian football. So, it's U Sports.
Okay.
What's the CIF then? I don't know. We were talking about the jump from U Sports to the NFL.
This is not my area of expertise.
Yeah. I have no idea where the CIF came from. This is going to bug. Anyway, I'll take Frank Crum. This is going to bug me now.
Yeah. If you figure it out, we'll comment it under the post.
Oh, it's one of the conferences in U Sport.
Okay. I have no knowledge of any of this stuff. I admit when I don't know what I'm talking about, and I have no knowledge.
I clearly don't either. So,
other than the Grey Cup, I couldn't even name three teams. Not bragging about my ignorance, but that's just what it is. All right, so let's review what we got. Joe Alt, obvious. Amarius Mims might not be there, but if he is, obviously the inexperience is a problem, but he's such a talented player and has already shown so much technically for someone who's as inexperienced as he has. Obviously has a really good pedigree. Really hard to pass on him. Roger Rosengarten, somebody that you don't expect him to play early on, but worst case scenario, he can get on the field for you. He's very technically sound. And once he adds more muscle and size, he could legitimately start for you on either side of the line of scrimmage. Javon Foster, one of my binkies, I really, really like him as a fourth round guy who could legitimately develop into a starting caliber left tackle. And all right, let me try to go off memory. Who was after that? It was Caden Wallace. What was next?
Yeah, sorry, it just glitched out. Yeah, Caden Wallace was next.
And then we had Caden Wall was probably somebody you'd like to develop as a right tackle, but somebody who could legitimately start for you. Travis Glover, one of my favorite guys when he was down at the Senior Bowl, is someone who, again, is getting a lot of attention from NFL teams. The Patriots had him on a visit. They were at his pro day, and they talked to him at the Hula Bowl. And then the last pick was – oh, my God, my memory
I think
sucks.
I clicked Manu by accident, but it was supposed to be Frank Crum.
Okay, Frank Crum. And then, at that point, you're betting on traits because really the seventh round is like, this guy is probably going to be a priority free agent. We'd rather, guarantee that he's going to be on our team.
And, I'll say this for Crum too, with how well he moves kind of like a tight end. There's value in that, a kick return game.
Yeah, that's very true. It's going to be interesting to see if those kinds of guys who are just like those really like legitimate, like tight end tackle hybrids are actually going to have a place because they don't have to sprint all the way back there and operate as much in space.
Look, defensively too, on with some of the guys, the hybrid linebacker, safeties, tackling. I've put a ton of stock into what guys are going to be good on special teams because I don't know. We'll see how this plays out. Something tells me you're going to, especially in a class where, because of NIL, you don't have. There's very few true sixth and seventh round prospects in this draft. There's guys you get like the fourth, fifth round grade, and then UDFAs because so many guys now. If you know you're going to be a sixth or seventh round pick, and by the way, being a seventh round pick is like the worst thing. There are guys you would hear guys say they'd rather be UDFA than be a seventh round pick because
make more money.
You get to choose where you go right, and you make more money. So a lot of these guys now say, "I'm going to be a sixth round pick. I'm going to be a seventh round pick. F that. I'll go back to school. I don't need the check. I'm getting money here, right?" So because of that, I wonder. So there's a lack of talent in that range in the draft relative to other years. I wonder if teams now, you have this new kickoff rule, you're not necessarily getting the players you want to get in that range. I wonder if teams just hammer rebuilding their special teams in the sixth and seventh round to prepare for these kickoff rules. I haven't heard anything about that. That's just like a hunch. It's a gut thing, but it's a theory that I have. And that would benefit guys like Frank Crum, guys on defense, like what's his name? The linebacker from Cal. It's not Jackson Carmen. It's Jackson Sermon from Cal. Ryan Watts from Texas, who's like a hybrid corner safety. I think you're going to see more guys like that go who are, yeah, this guy maybe doesn't have the upside. He's not as much of a true traits player, but he can do a certain thing, whether it's tackling on in space or block on the run or something like that, that we're going to be able to use him in this new kickoff.
Yeah. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. And, you know, one, there aren't a lot of people that were keeping special teamers anyway. The Patriots are one of the few that were actually legitimately thinking about it in that way. So it'll be interesting to see. But, buddy, this is a lot of fun. Next week,
as always,
do you know what we want to do? What are you thinking? Tight ends next week?
Full tight end draft. So, we'll come up with, maybe we do. What if we do a mock draft? You want to just piss people off?
I'd love
mock draft where we can't take a quarterback, tackle, or receiver.
Okay. Oh, I like that a lot, actually. I like that a lot. Okay, so that's what we're going to do next week. No quarterbacks, no tackles, no receivers. We're going to hit all the other positions of need. That'll be fun, too. It'll be
we'll try to have the best draft we can within that.
Right.
But
I like that. I like that a lot. Shout out Brock. I haven't gotten to watch a ton of tape on, like, all the other positions. I've just been, you know, head in the dirt with all the quarterbacks and receivers and tackles. All right. Thank you so much, buddy. Now, let the people know what fantastic stuff you got coming down the pipeline this week.
Yeah, two new mock drafts up, 98.5sportshub.com. Linebacker preview went up on Tuesday. Cornerback preview will be up tomorrow morning. And new Catch 22 coming your way with Evan Lazar tomorrow as well. Another mock draft tomorrow night, live mock draft with Brian Hines on Patriots Beat.
Yep, Patriots family, Patriots Press Pass family. All right, thank you, buddy, and thank you all as always for watching. Now take care of yourselves, take care of each other,